Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 1. Sorry, 22, verse 1. I don't know where that came from. Sometimes these numbers, they just enter in randomly, and I don't. I hope I have some control over it. I know it doesn't seem like I do very often, but anyway, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols, which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Those that be near, and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which art infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee have they set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things. Thou hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain which thou hast made, and at thy blood which hath been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself, in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin, into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace. So shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, and here we are again in the middle of the book of Ezekiel, talking about these dire times for the children of Israel, the children of Judah, who have turned away their face from following the Lord. So in the first section then, and I have that as verses 1 through 16, the Lord declares to the prophet his mission. What is the mission of the prophet? Judge the bloody city. Judge the bloody city. And by judging the bloody city, what that means is that he is to reveal to her her sins. He is to confront her in her sins. And I will say that this is not just the duty of this prophet here. It is the duty of the ministry. It is one of the duties of the ministry. I mean, you saw some pretty fun duties of the ministry today as we got to baptize and give vows, and we just love that. But there are some other more difficult duties of the ministry. And some of those duties are that we must confront. We must judge. We must tell, reveal sins. And try, as meager as we can, as best as we can, to deal with them. To set things right. So we have then the challenge that is set before Ezekiel. Wilt thou judge the bloody city, the Lord says. He asks it as a question to show the difficulty and the courage that it takes, the strength of character that it takes for the prophet to stand. And remember, the prophet stands here like many ministers don't have to stand today. That is, he stands alone in the midst of the bloody city to declare her sins. It is a difficult proposition that the Lord sets before the prophet, but it is a necessary duty that he has. And so it speaks of one of those more difficult duties of the ministry, that of judging or revealing sins, that of confronting. Confrontation is never easy, but it is often necessary, and faithful elders and ministers must steel themselves for this part of the ministry as well. Steel, S-T-E-E-L. Note the word to the prophet then, show her all her abominations. This is difficult, for it is a list of many crimes against the Lord, and yet these must be revealed. The indictment must come. And note also what follows is a list of abominations. Now, let us say this before we move on in this passage. When the Lord tells the prophet, tell her all her abominations. Let's remember, let's take some instruction that we often settle ourselves with partial repentance over, you know, the big ones. The things that we think are more difficult than others, more heinous than others. And so, I think I know you. I think I know that you are a people that do confess their sins. And let me just drive you a little bit farther into that duty with the word of the prophet here. Show her all her abominations. Let us not content ourselves in partial repentances. Let us not content ourselves in good enough. You know, I had in mind to preach a different sermon this afternoon. I'm going to continue on. We're going to talk next week, Lord willing, about the different kinds of obedience that we see in Scripture. We're going to talk about that pristine obedience of Christ, and then down from that, we're going to talk about our filial obedience, the heartbeat of love and obedience that we ought to have toward our Father. But the Scripture speaks of many kinds of different obediences, some of which are just simply a kind of good enough obedience. I'll give it a lick and a promise. That'll be good enough. I accept it. God should too. Right? Well, the Scriptures don't speak approvingly of that kind of obedience, but they do reveal that kind of obedience. I think many times our confession of sin might be like that. We're kind of, it's like a mountain range, or moguls. We're just hitting the tops of them. Boom, boom, boom. And we're not doing what the prophet is commanded to do here with Jerusalem. Tell her all her sins. How many of our sins ought to escape confession? None. None. Although many do. Many do because of ignorance. We understand that. We are ignorant a lot of times of what our duty is. And so we pass by some of our sins in ignorance. Were we to confess all of our sins, we would have to know a lot more about our sins to do that. I'm convinced that many of our sins go by us in ignorance. But those that we know, we ought to be confessing. All right, so then she is called a bloody city. A bloody city. And she's called a bloody city because it's not simply because of unjust killing, although that is certainly included. It's called bloody because in the course of abominations she has taken to herself, she will end in blood. She has put herself upon God's bullseye. It's called a bloody city because the sins that she has piled up make her ripe for the Lord's targeting. So she is a bloody city in that sense. And there is an end to going on in sin with seeming impunity, as if there were no consequences. When those consequences come, and come they will be bloody, they will be injurious, and they will be costly. Remember that the wages of sin is still death. And that to sin without repentance, to persist in sin, is to put your souls at risk. It is to expose our souls to blood. That is the shedding of blood. So that is also why she's called the bloody city. All right, then what is next? It follows a litany of Judah's sins. First and always at the top of the list is what? Idolatry. First at the list is always idolatry. Because all of these others, they all derive from idolatry. So idolatry, oppression, disobedience, despising the holy things, profaning the Lord's Sabbaths, slanderous, idolatrous, indulgent, insatiable, regarding fleshly and lewd sins, extortioners and greedy, and they have refused to hear. Notice what the Lord says. He has smitten his hand, and they've refused to hear. You've seen parents do that, haven't you? Maybe you as your parents have done that. You're trying to deal with your children on something, and they're la, 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 and they're not really paying attention, and you just, hey! I remember most of our children got their first spanking when they were at the six-month range. Some of you are gasping right now, I know. But that's true. And it wasn't really a spanking where you just, really lay into them, but it was, here they are in their crib, it's time for them to lay down. And they're standing up, and you just walk in there and just go, bop, like that. And it's like, and they lay down. Somebody's actually going to deal with this. Look at that. And so sometimes when things are going on like that, just a, and so the Lord has done that. I've smitten my hands, and you've not heard. It's not done. It's not had that desired effect. Okay, so that's what the Lord means when he says, I have smitten my hands. They have refused to hear. All right, so now this most threatening posture. The Lord says this, can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? Boy, that's a tough question, isn't it? I mean, it's not tough. We know the answer. It's not, I wonder what the answer to that is. It's not tough in that way. But that the Lord would say that to his own people Can your heart endure and can your hands be strong in the day that I rise up as your enemy? Of course, the answer to that question is no. So then, the following question is that is not asked, why then have you persisted in this course, right? And many times it's because why? It's because we have failed to see the end. We failed to see the end of the course. We have started out on a particular trajectory. We've gotten ourselves disaffected somehow. And so we get ourselves disaffected, and then those around us, well, none of them can do anything right. Because we have gotten our mindset in a particular direction. So we get our mindset in that particular direction. We take the first two or three steps down that course. The Lord slaps his hands. Hey, do you realize what the end of this course is? We keep walking down that course. And pretty soon we wonder why we're in the middle of nowhere. Pretty soon we wonder why. How did I end up here? We ended up there because we didn't consider the end when we started. We didn't do the implications when we first gave ourselves leave to take those steps. And so where did we end up? We ended up in a place of complete disaffection. All right, so the next section then I have is verses 17 through 22. In this section, the Lord declares that they have become like dross to them, and in that he will take them and bring them into that crucible of his judgment and melt them. You know what a crucible is, right? A crucible was a little pot in the midst of an X. That's why it's called a crucible. It was in the midst of an X because that's what the stand looked like. And it was this little pot about this big around, and it had something in the bottom of it. It had a pipe that came from a bellows that was at the foot of the smith. And so he would pump air into the bottom of that crucible, right? And what it would do is it would heat up that metal you blow on a fire to make it hot. They would blow on that fire to make it hot, and the pot of metal that was on top of that would get hotter and hotter, and it would melt that precious metal, the silver, and all of the ugly stuff, the brass and the tin and the lead and the iron that was in mixed with that silver ore would bubble up to the top like scum on the top of it. And it would be sifted off and discarded, or they would pour off the silver and just let the scum burn away. And that's exactly what the Lord says he will do here. He's going to draw out the silver and he's going to burn up the dross. And this just speaks of his judgment. It is just another metaphor of his judgment upon the bloody city. And then verse 23 through the end of the chapter, and I have that as verse 31, we have the prophet continues his judging. A land not cleansed, a land not rained upon in the day of indignation. There is no mitigation of the trial, in other words. The prophets who ought to nourish the souls of the people have instead behaved themselves as lions devouring. They have sought the treasures of the earth and not the spiritual health of the people. The priests have fallen down in their duty as well. They have not distinguished between the holy and the profane. They have hid their eyes from the Sabbaths, and in so doing they have profaned the Lord. They have divined lies and declared that the Lord has spoken when he has not, and the people have been oppressors and not helpers of the stranger and of the needy. And then the Lord says, and I looked for someone to stand in the gap, and there was not a man. Not a man. This reminds me of the time when Abraham protests with the Lord for the city of Sodom because Lot is there. If there are 50 and 40 and 30 and 20, how about 10? Will you save the city if there are 10 righteous there? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course, the answer of the Lord is if there are 10, I will save the city. There weren't 10. And so the Lord sent two angels in to get the less than 10 out before he destroyed the city, right? Isn't that what happened in Sodom? Notice here, there's nobody. There's no one. All those who might have stood up in righteousness have already been taken captive, the cream of the crop, men like Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. They've already been taken away captive to Babylon. And the rest is all oppression. A people that at one time were known as the Lord's people. Now, where have they gone? Where have they gone? Thus ends the reading then of Ezekiel chapter.